Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I am so excited to introduce you to Haley Coloso from the enchanting Hobbit Hill Farm. Nestled between the stunning Blue Ridge and Allegheny Mountains in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, this small family-owned farm is a hidden gem on the banks of the North River, just minutes away from Harrisonburg, Stanton, Waynesboro, and Elkton, and only an hour from Charlottesville. Hobbit Hill Farm is known for its USDA-certified organic blueberries. With a passion for organic farming and a commitment to sustainability, Haley and her family offer a unique pick-your-own blueberry experience every June. Their blueberries, touched only by rain and sunshine, are ready to eat straight from the bush. No washing required. Welcome, Haley. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and speak with you.
Yes, and for those of you watching the video version on YouTube, we are actually sitting right here on the blueberry farm, and you can see the more mature blueberries right behind us, and we're a bit on a hill. I've tried to adjust the tripod for that, but if we're a little crooked to you, that's why. That's why. So I'd like to talk about this farm a little bit, the love that you have for it and the land. What you've done is truly, truly inspiring. And this is not just your farm, it's your family's farm. And that's a big part of the story. So can you share and start out a little bit about how this all began?
Sure. Yeah. And I get a little bit emotional, you even bringing it up, because I was born and raised at this farm. Mm-hmm. I'm one of five kids, all girls. So we have a true sisterhood there for the five of us. And my parents bought the farm about 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. My dad planted the blueberry bushes about 35 years ago, so I'm about the same age as these plants.
Oh, wow.
And so I grew up here on the farm, playing in the creek, swimming in the river, making hot dogs out of cattails and pretending to rock climb in the rapids over there. So, this farm is really special to me and to all of my sisters, and it's a place that we're all thankful still to gather at and to bring our kids back to. And just growing up here, I really have a connection to the land and an appreciation for all nature. I think when you're exposed to something and then you are curious about it and then you start to learn more about it, you just appreciate it naturally. So I just love this place, and I'm so thankful now that I get to work here and share it with my family and our, all the cousin crew and with all of you now that you're coming out too.
Yeah.
So it's really been a really cool experience.
Yes, when I pulled up here, it's kind of tucked away, and you were showing me the old farmhouse that your parents originally lived in before they built the new home, and you were telling me they didn't have any running water.
Yeah, I don't know all the details, but I know that my mom says they were sort of camping out in the old farmhouse on the property, and that's the old house that I was brought home from the hospital as a baby to while they were building the new house that I grew up in. So my parents have a house up on the hill there, and they named it Hobbit Hill Farm because of the rolling hills. So when you come out, you'll see it is rolling hills, and there's even a little hill in the patch, and so it reminded them of the Shire. And my dad especially is a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh,
so that's where the name Hobbit Hill Farm came from. So that was what they always called the farm. So then when I got involved with the business and started working in the patch to sort of rejuvenate it and share it with a bunch of people, we said, well, what are we calling the blueberry patch? And it's always been called Hobbit Hill Farm. So that's what we decided to keep calling this piece of it.
Yeah, I love it. That's a cool name too. And I like that you've kind of incorporated in the logo a little sense of the Shire as well.
Yeah, my dad wanted the words to have sort of that Hobbit writing to it. So it's just a little nod to that in addition to the name.
Yeah. I'm wondering how this unique geographical features that we have here in the Shenandoah Valley influence the blueberry season. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, I guess the timing of the season is influenced by the climate of the Shenandoah Valley, right? So in Florida, the blueberries are going to be sooner. In Pennsylvania, they'll be a little later. But here specifically on this piece of land, we happen to have some naturally sandy soil because mm-hmm. we're right beside the river and we're right on a creek. And so that's really good for blueberries to have naturally sandy, slightly acidic soil. Blueberries like acidic soil and grow best in that. So we're already leaning that way a bit here. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to cultivate it to be sort of a perfect home for them.
How many years has the blueberry farm been here? I mean, did you grow up with the blueberries or is this a... How long have the blueberries been here?
Yeah, so my dad planted the plants about 35 to 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So these big plants behind us are that old. And I grew up sort of with the blueberry patch, but my dad, it wasn't his main business. So he did it on the side as a hobby. So when I was growing up, people would mostly just come pick and then leave money in like a money box on the front porch.
Okay.
So it was just kind of self-service, help yourself and come up to the front porch and put some money in a box. So I didn't really grow up with the business being how it is now. But as are slowly growing and transforming it, hopefully this method of doing things with people coming to pick is going to allow us to keep this going for years to come, because that wasn't really sustainable way. We weren't able to take care of the patch that we needed the way we needed to that way.
So now it's different in that people can come. How does it work? They come and pay for a bushel, a basket. How does the whole thing work?
Yeah, so people show up and then we give them a bucket and a bag, and then you can come in. You can go wherever you want to. So even though we're growing the business a little bit just to be able to keep doing it, we still want it to be really relaxed and just a really nice experience for families. So we don't say you have to pick on this bush or this row. You can just come in with your bucket and your bag, kind of have an adventure, explore around. You pick as much as you want to, and then you come out and we weigh them, and then you just take the bag out of the bucket and you just take them home. But we also have blueberry mint lemonade to enjoy. That is a fan favorite. So good. It is. I'm like, can't wait to have it.
I can't wait either. She's promised me laughers.
And then we also do a blueberry buckle that's really delicious. And then beyond that, we just really want to do everything we can to make it be a great experience for everyone that comes out. So we have a blanket we set up in the shade with blueberry books to borrow that you can read with your kids or just yourself. It's fun to just read a book in the shade about blueberries, you know, and kind of either have a new experience or remember something from your childhood. And this year we are going to have a new parking area just to make that a little more smooth, flow a little more smoothly. And we're also going to have some picnic tables. So if you want to bring out some breakfast or lunch to the patch, or when we're open in the evening, pack a dinner, you're welcome to do that. We'll have the lemonade and the buckle that you can add to it, but you're welcome to pack a picnic and make a morning of it.
Okay. Then what are the hours then?
Yeah. So you'll just need to check our website. Mm-hmm. And we also have Facebook and Instagram. We're usually open every morning, every day, because we only have 2 to 3 weeks of the year to be open. So we should be open every morning and probably Tuesday and Thursday evenings as well. But I always tell people, just check the website, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're finding our information, just check before you head out. And if we ever need to close for a day for weather or because a lot of people have come to pick, I'll always update by 8 a.m.
Okay.
So if you check in the morning by 8 a.m., you don't see anything, we're open as scheduled. So if we ever need to close, we'll update by 8 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, but we try to be open every day. We want people to be able to come out. So
yes, for as much of the 2 weeks as possible.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am loving this pick your own experience. It makes me want to pick my own experience right now with this absurdly flavorful popcorn from Preposterous, our sponsor. I brought some for you to try. What do you think?
It's so good. It's
Isn't
so
amazing?
Good. Yep. I have a caramel one.
Mmm. I got cinnamon. I decided I was feeling a little spicy today. I love the caramel though too. It's so good.
It's really good.
And you know the owner, I hear. Mm-hmm. Tisha.
Yeah, Tisha has been an awesome inspiration. Mm-hmm. She's been coming to the patch for years. She even volunteered to plant a couple of our plants over there. And she's just been really inspiring as another small business owner. So I feel like she's so encouraging and so supportive and just cheering on other entrepreneurs. So it's so cool that she's supporting this podcast. Thanks, Tisha.
Thank you,
Tisha. Yeah. And yeah, she's awesome. So
I agree.
It's really cool that she's involved.
I love that. And she has so many great things going for her company because the kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Their factory is 100% nut-free. And she just got the Virginia's only award-winning popcorn. I know that. But the trademark for having Virginia Finest trademark for having top quality Virginia specialty crafted food. And that is a hard thing to get.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it tastes amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. And Laffers, this popcorn is perfect for literally any occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, you name it. And they're giving you a discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 and you'll get a 15% discount when you visit prepopsterous.com. That's PrepopsterouS.com. Just head over there and get you some today and you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. Wouldn't that be an amazing idea?
I think it sounds great.
I think so too. This one, back to what we're doing here. This is a USDA certified organic farm. I don't even know why. It sounds good. It sounds like we should be doing this. But what does that certification entail? What can you tell us about how important that is and vital to what you're doing here?
Yeah, sure. So the USDA certified organic is about supporting the interconnected web between the plants, the animals, the environment, the land, really all of it. So I think a lot of people, it comes to mind of just the actual food that you're eating. Mm. But I like to let people know that aren't as familiar with it, that it's really goes beyond that to also, like I said, the interconnected web of life of where the farm is. So it does mean that our blueberries have, for us, nothing on them. So we talk about how our blueberries are only touched by rain and sunshine because they're not having any pesticides or fungicides or insecticides. I guess that's what a pesticide is. Anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
Anyway.
We're all learning.
But anyway, there's nothing on the plants themselves. But also it goes beyond what is or isn't on the blueberries. For example, when we built our deer fence, we used cedar posts because treated lumber would have chemicals on it that could leach into the water. Mm-hmm. So it really is about lots of different facets, like tracking our water usage, different things like that.
Now, mainly, you're not using any chemicals. I think that's the biggest thing.
So, so the
certified.
Only thing that we have that we use is a fertilizer that is an organic certified fertilizer from organic sources. So I suppose with organic certification, you could have some like chemicals or things that are organically derived. That's what it really means. Okay. But we kind of consider ourselves beyond organic because we're really careful to just have as little intervention as possible. So when it comes to disease, we don't have any like chemical, even organic certified chemical intervention for that. It's really just about pruning. So I prune the plant specifically to allow for sunlight and airflow because that helps prevent disease from forming. And then when it comes to like insects, we have insects in the patch, but we also have insects that eat those insects. And I've just been amazed by how beautiful the berries are. Even though we use no insecticides, we use nothing for pest control, and the berries are still gorgeous. So I've sort of been impressed by how well Mother Nature just takes care of it, at least in regards to blueberries. So for us, it's really just a lot of love, a lot of sweat.
Yeah. It seems like it.
Yeah. Just to grow them and they're flourishing. So it's been really cool to see them.
Yeah. I want to talk about your farming practices and what's involved time-wise about that a little bit, because Laffer, she took me on a little site tour of this whole blueberry farm, and you can see how the plants are in different stages. She's got her babies and then I guess adolescents, for lack of a better phrase, and then these full-grown ones right behind us. How long does it take a baby blueberry plant to look like the ones behind us?
Yeah, so these plants are 35 or 40 years old, but it shouldn't take our babies that long to get this big. So I think in about 8 years, 8 years from planting time, they should be big and productive like that. Okay. So we have plants that are 35 or 40 years old, and those are the ones that my dad originally planted, and that I've been working to rejuvenate those. So when I got involved about a little more than 10 years ago, I started pruning them, and I spent a year taking out trees that had grown up in the patch, and probably another year getting vines off of them. In some places, you couldn't tell there was a blueberry plant there. Mm. So they've really come back, and with the pruning and some organic fertilizer, are thriving. And so it's sort of been an inspiration to see how well the plants are doing with care, and that they were sort of surviving for several years and are now thriving again. And then we have the new little plants, which you'll see when you come to the patch, and those were planted over the last 2 years. So I'm sort of the second generation farmer of the patch, and we have the second generation of the plants, which is cool because these plants are about my age, and I have a 4.5-year-old, and these plants are about his age. So it's kind of a cool parallel there.
Now, does your son come out and help you with the blueberry patch?
Yeah, he does some. He tags along. So he's come with me when I'm working on the irrigation. Or I think it was when we were planting the plants, and I have this really sweet memory of him like plopping down in a plant hole. Like, I'm a blueberry plant. And then, of course, because he's a former science teacher's son and also just has been exposed to it, he was like, I'm a bud. Now I'm flowering. Now I'm getting pollinated. Now I'm a blueberry. And it was just, it's really sweet. So, and he was here when the plants were being delivered. He was like walking on a bridge with a watering can. So he's just been around it. I haven't put him to work yet because he's still a little young, but he's been able to experience it. And also just the other farm cousins, like my sisters and their husbands and the cousin crew, have been involved too. Like, I'm just remembering they helped prepare hundreds of planting holes with peat moss. We had like a family work day, and then my brother-in-law helped me pull up the irrigation because he's like 6'7" and really strong. So
yes.
He had to pull up some buried irrigation. So anyway,
get him back here more often.
Yeah, put him to work. Right, I'm pretty strong too, but yeah, I can't match that. So anyway, yeah, it's just been a family affair. But we do have the plants, like you were saying, two different ages. And then were you asking about caring for the plants too?
Yeah, I'm wondering, how often are you out working the land? Are there months that you don't work on it at all? What's your schedule look like to prepare for every June?
Yeah, so February through October are pretty busy. And February might be earlier than some people think, but February and March are the time to prune. And this year I pruned every single plant myself.
Wow.
So there's about a lot here. Yeah, there's about 600 of the old established plants, the mature plants, and then about 1,600 of the little ones.
Yeah.
So in February and March, I was here every day pruning those while my son was at preschool. And then I snagged time in the evenings and weekends too. So we're pruning, fertilizing, irrigating, and then once the weeds get growing, since we don't use any herbicide to keep them down at all, we weed every plant by hand and then push mow around them, mow the rows, weed whacking. So a lot of things to keep up with the weeds, but it's worth it to grow them this way, and they're doing so well. So,
and then after June, after the season, is that a slowdown part of the year for you?
Really, through October is still pretty fast. That's because right. As long as it's during the growing season, even when we're not picking, we still have to maintain the weeds all season long. We'll still be doing, like, after picking is a time when we'll do one last round of some organic fertilizer. And we still need to be watering them if it doesn't rain. We have irrigation, but it's sort of like life support. Like, it keeps them going, but it's not like a good rain, but we monitor rainfall and irrigate when we need to. And then there's just lots of other things to do. Like I was telling you, I'm starting a new parking area. Yeah. So I was planting that. We have a deer fence that needs to be maintained. And then, you know, the off season is kind of October, November, December, January. But as many of you can imagine, there's plenty of things to catch up on when things aren't growing or to try and get ahead on. So that's kind of the time when I can plan and dream and decide what our next steps are going to be, since we're still growing and learning and just trying to do a little bit more every year. It's been like sort of a slow growth process, but I'm sort of thankful for that too, because I've learned so much along the way that now that we have all these baby plants, I'm so much more ready to help them thrive than I would have been 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely a labor of love. Imagine in the off season too, you can think about marketing strategies and other admin type of work that
taxes takes a lot of time.
Taxes.
Right, I know. Sorry.
Where's my popcorn? Now I'm emotionally
a little
eating.
Joy, a little
But we're going to talk about the blueberries. So now we're lifting the tone back up.
But you're right. Just planning, updating the website. I already have a whole list of things to do for the next off season, because once February and March hits, that's go time for pruning. And then once we get to April and May, then that's the grass and the weeds are growing, and we just have to stay on top of that. So then it's just, keeping everything going until about the end of October, and then you can regroup and say what went well, what didn't, what do we want to push into next year or pull back on, and all those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine some of the fun parts are seeing people out here and all of that. But what are some of the challenges that you face running a blueberry farm?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Because as any entrepreneur, you just make it work. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think, what are the big challenges? Because you encounter them and then navigate them and then kind of put it in the rearview mirror. Mm. But I've just learned a lot. I guess that's a way for me to think about it. I've just learned so much over the last 10 years. So I think I was sharing with you when we were walking around that 10 or 15 years ago, I wouldn't really have known like a blueberry shoot from a weed. And so obviously I've come a long way from that. Now I'm the one pruning all the plants and have been doing that for years. So, there's been a learning curve just in terms of how to care for the plants. So whether it's learning how to prune, there's videos out of the North Carolina Extension Service that I've watched, three or four times over, and now I'm training other people how to prune, my farm hands, and then fertilizing or irrigation, how much do you really need, when's the best time to do it, all of those things, to researching what varieties should we put in that are really good at thriving organically. So when we were choosing our new varieties, just researching like out of Penn State what varieties would be good for specifically for organic production, and then starting a business and being a manager, that was things that I had never done before, really. And so that's been a huge learning curve and growth. And I think honestly, through the process of that and probably also parenting, I've learned to have a lot more grace for myself and for others as a manager, because I'm a hard worker and I want to do a good job and I want everyone to work hard, and they do. And I've been really lucky to have amazing farmhands, but I think starting out, I was a little too hard on myself and probably by nature on other people too. And so I think just having more grace for myself and flexibility and all those things, whether it's from the business or motherhood or some of both that I've learned and grown in, I think has been great. And communication and just so many things, on that side of it that I'm really thankful for those lessons too.
I think that's a good note for all of us laughers. We do tend to be too hard on ourselves. And I know one thing my main therapist I call Boss Babe says a lot is like, you want to treat yourself like you treat your friends or or your son, somebody that you care about and treasure and love.
Yeah, just like loving unconditionally. And always like believing the best. And so
it's okay to make mistakes. We learn from those.
Yeah, and I was telling you before, it's been really, I don't even know the word, but just been really awesome to experience that love from our customers, because we have the best customers. I hope you come out, but really, really, we do. Seriously, I had a farmhand working at the stand, and she said, everyone is just so nice that comes here. And it's been really cool to like invite and welcome people into this, saying, hey, we have some amazing, delicious blueberries. We have 600 plants. They're loaded. And we're also growing the patch, and I'm also learning, and I'm also figuring out the parking area. And now we're going to have some picnic tables, and I'm trying to offer as many hours as I can, but I have this young son I really want to spend a lot of time with too, and just trying to navigate all of that and make mistakes, and people just cheerleading us along the way, and just it's been really, really cool. And my customers, I'm like, I inspire me, like I want to be like you guys. So I think just seeing that on this side, and also like just family stepping up for me and my friends supporting me, it's like just giving people an opportunity to show up for me, and then they so have, and that's been really cool too.
I think in general people want to support other people. There's a real goodness in all of us. That's nice to see.
It's really been, really nice to experience. So, did you want me to talk about some more challenges? I kind of went off track a bit.
Yes, I do. Because I think it's encouraging to hear when people face them and overcome them.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, we lost our whole crop. So that's a challenge because, So if we get a freeze, and some people that have been following along know about my freeze anxiety, because mostly I just tell them it's my annual, it's my annual opportunity to practice letting go of things out of my control. because if we get a cold night at just the wrong time, we can lose our whole crop, which happened, it was 3 years ago, actually, 2020 was the year, like, for everything, right? Or was it 2021? Yeah. So, three seasons ago, we lost our whole crop. So that's a challenge that that can happen in farming. And we're still hand weeding, and we're still irrigating for the plants. Even if we don't have blueberries, the plants still need water. And we're still doing all the mowing, and we're still fertilizing, because we're really caring for the plants. And then the blueberries generally, you know, will come. So it's sort of like process over product, right? It's like I'm trying to do the fertilizing and the pruning and the watering and keeping them weeded. And then the blueberries will be what the blueberries are. But it's a bummer when you lose the whole crop, and really hard too. I guess another challenge, but that I've really, really been lucky with, I feel like, is just finding people that can come out and work for like the really short season that we have and that want to do that. But I've been really lucky, especially over the last couple of years, just to have some amazing farm hands. So I've kind of lucked out in that regard, but I know that can be a challenge too.
There's a couple of things you said in there I wanted to talk a little bit more about. These farm hands, these are people beyond your family circle that helps with the farm, that just work seasonally each year?
Yeah, so we have a couple people that help us out. We're a really small crew. So right now I actually have a good friend's dad who is doing the zero turn mowing for me on the rows. But then I have a high school kid who's doing the push mowing between, and then two people that are doing the hand weeding. So I think that's most of the crew. But yeah, it's a really small crew. And then about October sometime through March, it's really just me and my parents and my husband and family that'll help out too. But then for the growing season, we have a small crew, but I definitely need that help. I learned over the years, I guess another challenge coming up, that if I was all of the labor, then I couldn't have a business.
Oh, no.
And that really hit me a couple years ago. And it might have even been when I was pregnant and physically couldn't do all of the work. I mean, I still did some of it, but it was probably like a really, really in my face reminder then. But even outside of that, it's just too much for any one person to take care of.
Yeah, you can tell
that. So I have to hand off some pieces. And I think early on, you know, we're so small and so trying to grow and stuff. It was like, I want to do it all myself, and maybe I kind of need to, but I just really, really needed to hand off some of those
pieces. You needed to delegate.
Yeah. So I learned to do that, and have been really, really lucky with amazing farmhands that are helping, that just do a great job. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What is, I've never mowed. This is a fact. I have never mowed a lawn in my life.
Wow.
I know. I'm the oldest of seven, and I had five brothers, so they did.
So you got
it.
To delegate. Yeah. You were like an expert delegator.
Yeah. And they wanted to cut the grass. And so then I got married, and, you know, the grass got cut still.
Yeah.
And now I live where the HOA cuts the grass.
Yeah.
So I don't know what zero turning mowing is. Maybe all the laughers all know this, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a type of mower that is a ride-on mower that can make a tight turn.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a big, heavy-duty mower. It can make tight turns and stuff. So it's not like a push mower. It's like a ride-on mower, but instead of a ride-on mower that just has a steering wheel, it has some handles, and you can just go in a circle with it. So it's kind of one person does the big heavy duty mowing. We have people hand weeding right around the plants where we can't use any machinery. And then we have a push mower to go between the plants
because
you can't take a big heavy duty mower in there and a weed trimmer. So it's a lot to manage the weeds, but it means that we don't use any herbicides, which is great for the fruit. I mean, I think it's really great that you can come to the farm, and we encourage you to taste test. When you come out, you can taste test the varieties. If you have kids with you, they can taste test right from the plants. So there's nothing on them. No insecticides, no herbicides, nothing like that. So all that work we do to maintain it by hand, it's important for the fruit, but also living beside the creek and the river. It's important, I feel like, for the land too. So I think it's important for what we're putting in our bodies, but also for
the area that we live and that we love, the podcast all about the Shenandoah Valley. So,
that's right.
You know, whatever we're putting into the land is going to end up in the water or it's going to end up in the other animals. And so it's just that interconnected web of everything, like I said, with using cedar posts, you know, for our fence so that we're not using treated posts that's going to leach into the soil. Just all of those sort of things, or like monitoring how much water are we using? How much do we need? You know, we don't want to water when we don't need to, or things like that.
Yeah, that's good. And this is probably, assuming what would be natural, but when you lost your crop, did that mean you had to be closed that season?
We did. Yep. So we didn't open. So we were open last year and the year before, but like three seasons ago, we weren't able to open.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when.
Yeah. Right. And then you still have all the costs still for the whole year of maintaining the plants. Because especially with a woody plant like this, that is, you know, it's here every year. It's not a new plant each year. These plants, like I said, have been here 35 or 40 years. The internet says everything from 25 to 50 years for how long they live, but we're just banking on forever.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so you do need to care for them. You know, not quite year round. They do go dormant in the winter, but they require a lot of care to help them be really thrive. But that's one of the things I love about growing blueberries is that I really do feel connected to the plants. Like I was showing the babies before and but even these
they're
big
so
plants,
cute, actually. Yeah.
I sing them lullabies, you know, but I do talk to them. But
I like
really,
that too.
I really feel connected to the plants because it's when I prune them, you know, one season, I can literally see the impact that has on the plant and I can see how my pruning and my care is shaping the plant year after year. And also see where I want them to be and kind of where we're at in that process. So I find it really rewarding to do that work year after year on the same plant and see how it's responding to that.
To me, so you were the one kind of leading the charge in the family with this planting. Did you see that coming when you were coming up? Oh, we have one day I'm going to do all this planting and figure out all this farming.
No, not at all. So I think I was, it was after college and I was living in Indiana and wanted to move back to the Shenandoah Valley. I love this area. I missed family, missed the farm, missed the mountains. So I think before moving back, I had an idea of like, yeah, maybe I could help get the blueberry patch back in good shape because it was just, you know, it's too much for any one person to care for. You know, some floods had wiped out the irrigation. My dad had another job. So it was pretty grown up with like trees and vines and stuff. So I just thought, oh, maybe when we move back, I could do some work in the patch and have a little stand. You know, fast forward 10 or 15 years and I had no idea I would be here, but I'm so glad that I am and so thankful to be doing this work. But yeah, I think the first summer we were back in Virginia, I was living in Front Royal and just started driving down to do a little work in the patch. And I just fell in love with the work. And which I think is really cool to find something, you know, in my 20s that I ended up developing. And now I'm again getting a little emotional, but just developing such a profound appreciation for and a love for that I didn't even know that I had. And it's just a cool reminder that that can happen at any point in our life, whether it's something for business or just something you love or enjoy, but that at any point we could just find this new thing that's kind of in us that we could be awakened in a way that we didn't even know how much we would love it. So I just got started and fell in love with it and then have just kind of made more and more of it. And over the years, like, oh, I think I really want to do this kind of. So, yeah, I've been doing it part-time while I was teaching middle school for several years and then been like primary caregiver for my son, who's 4 and a half now for the last several years, but still fitting it in on the side and where I can. And just excited to do more and more and thankful for the support of like family and friends and the customers coming out and just being on that journey with us. You know, it's cool. Some people like Tisha from Preposterous who have been coming out for years. I mean, she came when it was pay on the front porch.
That's fun.
And having them see that growth and that change and just cheering us on. So, and for the family too, just that it's going to be around hopefully, you know, for generations to come, both for the family and for our customers to come enjoy. And like you said, it is so rewarding to see people come out to the patch and make those memories and form that connection with nature and get to taste a warm blueberry. You think, I mean, you keep them in the fridge, you think cold, but to me, a warm blueberry straight from the bush is bursting with flavor is like the best way to eat them, you know, before they even go in the fridge. So
So you encourage the laughers to...
You have to taste test a little bit. We don't weigh, you know, on the way in and the way out. So, yeah. So you got to taste test a little bit. I do think it's part of the pick your own experience. So like here, you'll never find us being like, you can't believe you were eating from the plant. Like you have to taste. I mean, I think everyone kind of does that, right?
Yeah, I think you told this secret we all know about.
But it's not something you have to hide.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think some of our laughers are teachers. I think they would be interested to know what you taught. What did you teach?
Oh yeah. So I taught middle school math and science. So So not too big of a jump from this. And sometimes we have homeschool groups or other youth organizations or adult organizations out to the patch. And so, I'm always happy to talk with people about what I've done and what I've learned and what I'm still learning. But I also think nature is sort of the best teacher. And so, for kids, you can kind of teach them without even trying just by having them out here. Mm-hmm. And then they have that great experience and form that connection and are naturally curious. So then they have questions about it just naturally, which is great. And I love, we have a little bridge that you cross the creek coming into the patch. And so I'll see little kids like leaning over and even laying their bellies on the bridge to peek over and see minnows and like, oh, there's a crayfish. And what are those little spider things? And is that a dragonfly? And I could tell them, oh, it's a damselfly. And here's how you can tell the difference. And it's just fun to see all the wheels turning. And we have all ages and stages and people out to the patch. And it's just... and people coming by themselves just for a little quiet moment, which is really nice too. So, yeah.
I think you bring up a great point here. You have a little bit more going on than your pick your own blueberry experience. You'll work with groups that come out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I do that a little bit as I can fit it in. So if there's a group that wants to come out, just let me know. The community's been so supportive of me and of us in this journey. So I just feel like it's one little way that I can give back a bit. So I have like a few openings each week where I can do that, and I'm happy to do that. So.
All right. Yeah. And if the group wanted to do that, what would they do? They just call.
They can just email me at hobbithillfarmva@gmail.com. So hobbithillfarmva, like Virginia, @gmail.com.
And if they came out here, what would a group experience typically look like?
Yeah, so sometimes for smaller kids, like 3 to 5, we might sit in the shade and over there and just talk about how blueberry plants grow, just hitting on a few highlights about, you know, how they put up shoots that are really soft, that grow into strong canes that make blueberries, and their roots are actually really shallow but really wide, and a little bit about how berries might be formed, that sort of thing, and then just take them over there and show them a couple new shoots. Maybe read a blueberry book if that's, you know, something that the group would like to do. But then for older groups, it might be more like a walk and talk in the patch where I can talk about pruning and show them a little bit of that on the plants. Not pruning at that time of year, but just show them, you know, here's what I would be looking for. This is what I might prune off next year, because I can look at a plant and say, oh, this is where it's at. This is what I'm going to do. And just more of like a just walking around the patch, talking and answering questions, talking about, you know, any pests that we do sometimes see, or, any diseases, that we've maybe seen a little bit of, or just what we do to prevent diseases, and get a little more like dig into the details. But really just answering questions. I feel like as you're just looking at the plants and I talk a little bit, then these questions pop in. So it's always, for me so far, has been really informal, but just, hey, bring your questions. People are curious, and I'm an open book. So like, thanks for being here, and let's just talk about it.
Yes, and I got to experience some of that when we were walking around. I think it was very soothing, but also encouraging and inspiring to see all that's happening here and get some. I was asking some questions, and I wouldn't have known those were shoots. I would have thought that maybe that was a weed. So
yeah, the actual blueberry shoot she's talking about. She's thinking, is that a weed?
Yeah.
That's blueberries.
So, yeah. It's a young shoot, and being able to learn a little bit about the difference. So I could see how that would be a really fun outing for a group of all ages, really.
Yeah, or if you're
growing things at home and curious, you know, on your own, plants, blueberries or otherwise, things to consider. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have sustainability, organic farming we've talked about is clearly important. Can you share some of the ways you protect the natural resources and conserve the biodiversity on this farm?
Yeah, sure. So one thing we do is track our water usage. So we don't want to use more water than we need to. We also have these like buffer areas that we leave. Mm-hmm. So riparian buffer is something that a lot of people will be familiar with, but some people may not. So a riparian buffer is about leaving plants near the waterways. That way, when it rains, soil doesn't just like wash into the waterways, things like that. So, and then, you know, for us, we're not really going to have much else that might be washing in. But in general, just having that buffer or a bit of nature around the waterways helps slow any water that's going to the waterways, helps slow it down so that it can be filtered naturally before it goes into the waterways. So that's good for people, but also just for the plants and animals and things that we enjoy that live there too. And then even just our patch, it's even though, you know, it is farming and it is somewhat cultivated, you know, it's also a natural area for animals too. So one of the people that was hand weeding a couple weeks ago said, "Oh, there's a baby turtle." And we all ran over to see the baby turtle, you know, that's just happy as can be in the patch. Or, you know, I was doing something, a couple months back. And then I went back to my bucket that I had some tools in. And there was like a tree frog on my bucket. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then just allowing, you know, the bugs and all the other animals to live here.
Yeah.
That it is just there. It's our environment, but it's their environment. It's just the planet. And so, just by doing the, oh, that's my alarm. No, sorry.
Okay, go check it.
Sorry, that was just my alarm to check with my mom. So I already took care of that. So
okay, good.
Okay. So anyway, we were talking about taking care of the, just taking care of the planet and the patch and being sustainable, like environmentally. So we let the bugs live. We let all the animals live, and we'll see them coming in. And sometimes I'll see a bird nest living in the plant or something. And so just knowing that they're there, you know, I'll see a praying mantis egg casing on the plant that, you know, gets to stay there. There's nothing wrong with that. So just seeing that animals are passing through here, and that we're just a part of everything, and trying to be, you know, as good a part of that as we can be.
Yeah, I think maybe watching this, some people might be a little bit inspired to grow a couple of blueberry patches.
Yeah.
Maybe like a small patch in their garden.
Yeah.
What would you recommend if somebody wanted to just try to grow a blueberry? I guess it's a patch. It's not a patch. A patch is a whole area, right? So what's a single blueberry bush, I guess, called?
Yeah. So it would just be called a bush. Yep.
Okay,
so you're right.
Good.
You got it.
All
blueberry
right.
bush. But yeah, I highly recommend gardening on any, you know, even on a very small scale. So whether it's, even if you don't have space for a blueberry plant, which gets pretty big, even just having a pot on your porch. But if you do have space for a little garden or a couple of blueberry plants, I highly recommend it because it's just such a joy, to just watch a plant grow. And this is something, like I said, that I discovered, but even with my own flower beds or with these plants, I'll be like, oh, a new shoot's coming up. Oh, they have buds. The buds are swelling. Now they're flowering. I'm sorry. I'm turning my head. I'm so excited. But it does get really exciting to watch something grow when it's your own and you're taking care of it. So yeah, but if people want to grow blueberry plants, we don't currently sell blueberry plants, but for sure, go buy a couple. You want to prep the soil first. So blueberries do like acidic soil. So you can get your soil tested, see what the acidity's at, and then, you know, mix in a little sulfur or something else to make it a little bit acidic. And then plant them and prune them and water them. And hopefully, you know, in 5 to 8 years, maybe a little sooner, but hopefully, you'll see them growing. And, but it is really rewarding. So I hope people will plant something, blueberries or otherwise, and watch it grow and then eat the fruits of your labor, flowers that you bring inside, because, I think on any scale, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I think so too. What would you say is the most rewarding part of what you do here at Hobbit Hill Farm for you?
Yeah, it's hard to pick, I think, just one thing, but a couple like moments come to mind. I guess one is just in the spring when all the flowers are blooming and you can see what's to come, but it's sort of that like quiet, still sort of moment. And it's rewarding just to see the patch turning into what I see in my mind's eye. So, and to see it was sort of on the brink of like just being taken back over by vines and stuff. And so to have like brought it back from the brink and now the plants are flourishing and thriving, like that's been really rewarding and kind of inspiring that like, hey, they were just surviving and now they're thriving again. And then to see the little plants grow and in my mind's eye, I just think, okay, in another 5 years, the whole patch is going to be full of really big producing plants. So I think that's one thing that's really rewarding. But the second really exciting time is just the actual blueberry season when people are coming out. Yeah, and I can just see other people loving it. And it's really cool to share that and to see people just having a good afternoon and, you know, just making memories together and just taking a moment to kind of step out of the busy and just get outside and connect in a delicious way. So, yeah, but it's great just spending time in nature and being able to encourage that and encourage something that feels like healthy and like in so many ways, you know, so the fruits are delicious and healthy, but you're getting to come out here and either have some stillness and a moment for yourself or to connect with someone else and maybe even meet a new friend or something, you know, or a chance to learn a little bit and bring your questions. So yeah, the blueberry season is really rewarding too in all of those ways.
It's truly an experience. And I think this is a good time to ask, for those laughers that are coming back again because they may already be following the podcast, or now new laughers are going to come out here and they're going to plan to pick some blueberries here at Hobbit Hill Farm, what tips would you give them to make the most out of their experience and to their trip here?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that comes to mind in the summer is just come early. Okay. So, I mean, it's Virginia. And so if you're not used to it, it gets hot in the middle of the day in the summer. So
yes, it does, laugher.
So and it's, you know, the berries are still there and they still taste amazing. But I just recommend come early.
Like
so
early in the day.
Early in the day. Yes, early in the day. So as soon as we open, you know, at 9 a.m. Or if we happen to have any days that are earlier, you know, just come as early as you can. It can be hard to get out the door, but that way it's a little cooler when you start. And then other than that, you don't need to bring much with you. Just show up and we'll have parking for you and we'll have some yummy blueberry mint lemonade, blueberry buckle, some blueberry books to read. You don't need to bring much. Just get here.
Have a great time. Yeah. Bring your good energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Your good vibes.
Love it. Yes. Yes. And they do. They do.
Okay. So
it's easy.
Easy. And I believe you mentioned before we started recording that you have this email list. It's essential people should get on it because that's when they know exactly when it's open and the hours, right?
Yeah. So you can follow us on our website, which is hobbithillfarm.com, or we're also on Instagram and Facebook. But the best thing to do if you want to make sure you don't miss the season, because it is only 2, maybe 3 weeks a year, is to get on our email list. And we only send a handful of emails a year. But if you go to our website, hobbithillfarm.com, you can either go to the contact page to sign up for our email list, or there's even a little window that pops ups to invite you to, but just get on that list and we will make sure we send out an email right before or as the season is starting so you don't miss it, because it goes by quick. It's kind of fast and furious, but but it also means that it's really exciting. It's like 2 or 3 weeks, it's blueberry season, let's get there, make it, so you don't miss it, because sometimes when something's around for a long time you say, I'll go later. So when you get that email that we're opening, just come on out right away and don't wait, because it goes by in a flash.
It does. Is this also the time of year where it's a bit of a family reunion for you all? Is it all family hands on deck for this season?
Yeah. So probably my sisters and my parents and the whole family is going to get some calls from me over the next couple weeks of, oh, I forgot this, or can someone come help with that? Because it's definitely go time as we prep. But we do have a great time during blueberry season, because it is like family and friends coming back out and, you know, they're just hanging out, sit in the shade with their lemonade and catch up a little bit. And so it's just a really, really exciting time and energetic time. yeah, it's awesome. So yeah, I can't wait to have people out. It's coming up in June, so only a month or a little bit less away. So
yeah. And we plan to drop this first Wednesday in June, just in enough time.
Awesome. So when you see this, it's going to be almost go time. So you'll be able to mark your calendars. It's perfect timing.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. And as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers, they know about the email newsletter, that's your website. How else can they stay up with the happenings on social media or otherwise of Hobbit Hill Farm?
Yep. So we are on Instagram and on Facebook, Hobbit Hill Farm. You'll find us. So you can follow us there.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Haley, for coming on the show and sharing all things Hobbit Hill Farm with us. Truly, again, inspiring what all you're doing with the organic farming and the blueberry patch here. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've learned a ton, which I'm happy to share, and I'm always learning. I learn from my farm hands. I learn from my customers and from other farmers. So maybe even someone that watches this will have something to share, and we're just always learning. So thanks for having me out. It's been such a cool experience growing this, and I'm so thankful to get to do this. So thank you to everyone that's been out to the farm, and I hope that more people will see this and come out, because we love having people at the farm, and I'm so thankful I get to do this because I love it.
Yeah, you can
tell. Thank you. You're welcome.
And learning, I'm right with you.
Yes, learning always.
Learning how to do this video version on YouTube is one thing I'm learning.
You're rocking it.
Well, thank you. And laughers, to learn more and take advantage of the only 2 weeks a year you can pick blueberries, be sure to visit that website, hobbithillfarm.com. That's HOBBIT. hillfarm.com. Also, laughers, thank you for tuning in today. I also very much appreciate the support of watching me on this journey of putting this together to get this great content out to you about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley. So please give this podcast a like, share, subscribe, and help us grow so we can bring you more awesome content with incredible people like our guest Haley today. So thank you from the bottom of our heart. We appreciate you. Also, don't forget that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15 at prepopsterous.com so that you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.